The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the epistle for this Sunday, the fifth chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the first, fifth, and sixth verses. Be imitators of God as beloved children, for you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. In his letter to the church at Rome, St. Paul teaches that even those who don't know the Ten Commandments are in fact dimly aware of what those commandments forbid and require. And part of the reason for that is that the Ten Commandments are not some kind of arbitrary code, but in fact reflect the way God made us. God is our maker, and it is He who knows how we must then live if we are not to damage or even destroy ourselves. I often tell those I prepare for confirmation that the Ten Commandments are like the owner's manual for a car. The manufacturer of the car knows how the car has been made and therefore knows how it should be used, lest it be damaged or wrecked. The Ten Commandments are God's owner's manual for those whom He has made, those He's called out of nothingness into being. They're not an arbitrary code, but they are in fact a manifestation of God's love, of His loving concern for our true well-being. But as sinful human beings, we so easily imagine that these commandments are some kind of burden standing in the way of what we imagine to be happiness. In the epistle for this third Sunday in Lent, St. Paul is talking about sins against the sixth, ninth, and tenth commandments. The sixth commandment, you shall not commit adultery, doesn't only forbid the breaking of the bond of marriage by indulging in sexual relations with someone who isn't your wife or your husband. The sixth commandment forbids every kind of sexual impurity in thought, in word, and in deed. The ninth and tenth commandments forbid the coveting of anything that belongs to another. Paul adds this severe warning. You may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. We all need that warning. Let no one deceive you. Because we live in a world that has completely lost its way and makes light of both the sins of impurity and the sins of covetousness. Of course, there was a time within living memory when there was more of a recognition of the sinfulness of impurity. There was even shame about it. But it's no secret that the sin of covetousness has been viewed as a respectable sin, or not a sin at all. And that has continued to this very day. There have, of course, always been people who secretly, and some people who not so secretly, in fact, admire the sin of greed. But the apostle doesn't mince words. He labels covetousness, greed, as idolatry, meaning that one finds his happiness, his fulfillment, his security in the acquisition of wealth above all things. And just as we are all tempted by the so-called sins of the flesh, just so we are all tempted to covetousness, greed, whether we are rich or poor or somewhere in between. And that's why we all need to hear and take to heart St. Paul's warning, let no one deceive you. We are all too easily deceived by our own wayward hearts and by the world we live in today. It was already more than 30 years ago that Louis Bouilhet, a distinguished Christian scholar, spoke of how this world has become a world no longer even pretending to be Christian, but indeed presenting us at last with a full realization of what an atrocious kind of paganism only a world boasting of having become post-Christian could produce. And so we need that warning. Let no one deceive you. The gospel read on this Sunday reminds us that we are not only in danger of being deceived by the world we live in, and by our own wayward hearts, but also by the ancient enemy of God and his dominions, the demonic powers, the legions of darkness. For behind the struggle between good and evil going on in the world and in our own hearts, there is that cosmic struggle between the Lord Christ and the Prince of Darkness. This sad reality is not only revealed to us in the pages of Holy Scripture, it is also, unless we are spiritually blind, experienced in our own lives. Surely, we can with St. Paul say of that malign power, we are not ignorant of his devices. Satan is past master at luring us with the worldly pleasures of sensuality and greed. But our Savior lures us with the beauty of holiness, of lives lived in harmony with his truly good and gracious will and purpose. Jesus is truly our beautiful Savior. His beauty exposes all the ugliness of sin and draws us to himself. Just before St. Paul writes, "Be imitators of God," he writes, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Be imitators of God as we know him in his Son. Let your lives reflect the generosity, the kindness, the compassion of God in Christ. Also toward those who have been so terribly misled in this world, which has lost its way, reveling as it does in sensuality and greed. As has often been said, the Church of Jesus is not a parade ground for saints, but a hospital for sinners." And what is our life as Christians if it isn't a process of being healed of our infirmities? As the prophet Isaiah says of our suffering Savior, "By his stripes we are healed." Healed, loved, and held fast forever. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.